Today on the pastor's study, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in verse number 5 down to verse 15. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Our topic today on the pastor's study is holiness. Holiness. Notice verse 14 of Hebrews 12 with me. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. The Word of God says very clearly that without holiness, a man cannot see God. Based on the Word of God, I believe the reason that many Christians have not seen God is because they lack holiness. When I say have not seen God, I'm not talking about what Oral Roberts claims to have seen a 50-foot Jesus. I'm talking about have not seen God working in their lives, have not felt the hand of God on them for a long time, have not experienced that close relationship and walk with God. In our study today, I want to speak about holiness and being holy according to the Word of God. First, let's look at some definitions. First, the word holy. Holy means properly, whole, entire, or perfect in a moral sense. Hence, pure in heart, temper, or disposition, free from sin and sinful affections. Applied to the Supreme Being, holiness, or holy, signifies perfectly pure, immaculate, and complete in moral character. A man is no more or less holy as his heart is more or less sanctified or purified from evil dispositions. Holy also means hallowed, consecrated, or set apart to a sacred use or to the service of worship of God. Now, the word holy appears 544 times alone in the Word of God. So I would say, based on that, that holy, or being holy, and the word holy is important to God. Now the word holiness. The word holiness means the state of being holy, purity, or integrity of moral character, freedom from sin, sanctity. Applied to the supreme being, holiness denotes perfect purity or integrity of moral character, which is one of his essential attributes. That's one of the attributes of God, his holiness. Applied to human beings, holiness is purity of heart or dispositions, sanctified affections, piety, moral goodness, but not perfect. The word holiness appears 43 times in the Word of God. So again, holiness, amen, as the word holy is important to Almighty God. Now let's look at holiness. First, in relation to God. Everything connected with the Lord God is holy. In Leviticus chapter number 20 and verse 3, it says, the Word of God says, the Lord's name is holy. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2, we are told, there is none holy as the Lord. In Psalm 145, verse 17, the Word of God says, the Lord holy in all his works. We read in Psalm 98, in verse 1, it says, the Lord's arm is holy. In Deuteronomy, chapter 26, in verse 15, it says, the place where God lives is called the holy habitation. In Psalm 105, verse 42, it calls the promise that God made to Abraham his holy promise. And then in Psalm 87:1, it says that God's foundation is in the holy mountain. The scriptures tell us that when both Moses and Joshua came in the presence of God, they were both told to take off their shoes because the ground they were standing on was holy ground. And the reason it was holy ground is because the presence of God was there. The city of Jerusalem, where God's temple was built by Solomon, and where Jesus will rule someday on the throne of David, is called the holy city. Just as the Christian's final abode, the New Jerusalem, is called the holy city in Revelations chapter 21 and verse number 2. The land where God's people, the Jews, reside in is called in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 12, the Holy Land. And according to Romans chapter 7 in verse 12, it says that both God's law and commandment are holy. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 5, God's apostles are called holy apostles. Everything in relation to worship to God under the Old Testament was considered holy. The Levitical priesthood was called the holy priesthood. The two main compartments of the tabernacle were called the holy place and the holy of holies. Amen. The priest's garments that they wore as they ministered in the tabernacle were called holy garments. Each offering that was offered, amen, were called holy offerings. The vessels used in the tabernacle were called holy vessels, amen. The oil that was used was called holy oil. And all the feast days were called holy, amen. And in fact, God's word is called the Holy Scriptures in both Romans chapter 1 and verse 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. Also, we refer to the Bible as the Holy Bible. And who did God have write the Scriptures? Not just anybody. In 2 Peter in chapter number 1 and verse 21, the Word of God says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, my dear friend, God used holy men. Amen. Separated men, consecrated men unto him to write down his words. And God used holy men, consecrated men, separated unto him to translate his inspired, his inerrant, preserved words into the English Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible. Now the Trinity, we have seen where God the Father is holy. We are seeing that God's Spirit is many times called the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The devil, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 34, calls Jesus the Holy One of God. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 27, the Apostle Peter and John referred to Jesus as that Holy Child, Jesus. Amen. Let's look at the word holiness. Holiness. In Psalm 47, verse 8, we're told that God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Amen. And then in Psalm 108, verse 7, it says, God speaks in his holiness. Amen. In Psalm 97, in verse number 12, it instructs God's people to give thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. And Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8 that during the millennium, during the thousand-year reign of Christ, the Lord is going to have a highway called the Way of Holiness. Amen for that. There's not going to be any traffic jams, amen, or any automobile accidents or any litter, amen, or any billboards, amen, on the highway, God's highway, the Way of Holiness. And then in Amos chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us that the Lord God hath sworn by his holiness. Now let's look at some things with the Old Testament versus the New Testament. First of all, turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. And we want to see the prophet Isaiah's vision there in Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah chapter 6, we want to look at verses 1 through 3 together. Isaiah 6, 1 to 3. And this is what the Word of God says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. Isaiah had a vision. He looked up into heaven, and the seraphim cried out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Well, my dear friends, things haven't changed even in the New Testament. God is still holy. Look at with me in Revelations chapter 4. Amen. As the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos, right? Amen. Where he was put there in seclusion. Amen. And Revelations chapter 4, we see this is what John saw. This is the vision of John the Apostle, beginning in verse 6 of Revelation 4. The Word of God says, And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and a third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. John saw the same vision up there, amen, as he looked up to heaven. Amen. The four beasts cried out day and night. They rested not, it says, continually cried out, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Now let's look in the Old Testament concerning Israel and being holy. In Deuteronomy chapter number 7, the word of God says, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So Israel was to be a holy people. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, in verse number 2, we read in the word of God, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. God chose Israel above all the other nations upon the earth to be a holy people. And then he commands them in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7. He commands Israel. He says, Sanctify yourself therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And then we see again in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26. It says, And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. God had severed the nation of Israel to be a holy people, to be his and his alone. Amen. Now we'll see the command to the New Testament Christian has not changed, to the body of Christ, to the individual Christian. He says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, According as he hath chosen us in him, that's the us is the church, in him, the body of Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The church has been chosen to be holy, separated under the things of God in the service of Almighty God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, the word of God says, Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. You see that our calling is a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then we see the command in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Very similar language that God used with the nation of Israel. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. He has chosen us, the church, the body of Christ, as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation, as a peculiar people. Why? That we should show forth the praises of him. Amen. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, which it sounds, amen, very, very similar to Leviticus 20, verse 7. 1 Peter 1:16 says, But it is written, Be ye holy. He's talking to the church, the body of Christ. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Because we serve a holy God, and we've been separated unto holiness. Amen. The church, the body of Christ, is to be holy. Amen. So we see it does not matter, amen, whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament, God's people are commanded to be a holy people because they serve a holy God. Amen? Amen to that. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at the Christian concerning holy, being holy and holiness. We want to look at several verses together, amen? First in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse number 17. It says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The Word of God is telling us the Christian's body is supposed to be holy because it's the dwelling place of God. Amen. And what do we put in our temple? Amen. How do we defile it? Amen. With our appetites and our wickedness and our vices. Amen. Our smoking and our drinking. Amen. We're called to be holy. Amen. Christians are called to be holy. Amen. Look at in 1 Timothy, if you would, with me. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 in verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 8. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We are to pray as Christians with holy hands. Our hands are to be undefiled by sin. Amen. That's right. Our hands are how we serve the Lord. Amen. Partly how we serve the Lord is with our hands. And we're to keep them undefiled. Our hands are to be holy if you want God to hear your prayer. Then in Romans chapter 12. Amen. Romans chapter 12. We see in verse number 1. That great verse of Scripture. Talking about how we're to offer our bodies each day as living sacrifices. Amen. But there's another word in there. It says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It doesn't stop there. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, the Christian's body is not only to be a living sacrifice, but a holy sacrifice. And maybe that's why God is not accepting your sacrifice, amen, because it's not holy. You and I must remember that God cannot use a dirty vessel, amen. And then we see also, amen, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 7, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 7, it says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Amen. God hasn't called us just to continue in our wickedness and our sin, amen, our uncleanness. But he's called us unto holiness, to live a holy life, a separated life, amen, to him and to for his service. And then we see in Romans chapter 6, we are commanded to yield our bodies, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Amen. And then look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Word of God has this to say about holiness. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us clean ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's how you and I, if we fear God, then we're going to perfect holiness. Amen. The reason Christians do the things that they do, amen, and they're so unclean and wicked is because they do not have a fear of Almighty God. Amen. You and I wouldn't do 99% of the things we do if we really feared Almighty God. And fearing God, we perfect holiness. And then we see in Ephesians chapter 4 with me, in Ephesians chapter number 4, in Ephesians chapter number 4, in verse number 24, it says, the Word of God says, that you put on the new man, amen, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's why you and I are instructed to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. We're to put on the new man. That's the part of us that's been born again. And we're to put off the old man, the sinful flesh, amen. Because the new man, amen, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The new man has been created, the Word of God says, in righteousness and holiness. And that's why, amen, we are, as Christians, as it says, to put on the new man, amen. Because a new man amen, has been created in righteousness and holiness. Now, what's the means? The means of holiness. When the Christian will not voluntarily submit himself or herself to God's call for him or her to be holy, and won't present his body to God a holy sacrifice, and won't yield his body to be a servant to righteousness unto holiness, and won't put on the new man God has created in righteousness and holiness, then God will use chastening, amen, as a means to get the Christian to partake of his holiness. And we read that as we began our study today. Let's turn to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews in chapter number 12. Hebrews 12 with me. That's what God will use, amen. That's what God will use. We'll use chastening so to get us to partake of his holiness. Hebrews 12 and verses 9 through 11. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, talking about our earthly fathers. But he, talking about God, for our profit, amen. Our earthly fathers chasten us, corrected us for their benefit, for their profit, but God is chastening us not so much for his benefit or his profit as for our profit, amen. That's what it says, for that we might be partakers of his holiness, amen. That's why it's for our profit and benefit, that we would be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. We can all agree to that, amen. It's not fun. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, amen. Boy, does chastening give us a great yield, amen. Now, as we conclude our study, if you and I are honest with ourselves, the reason the individual Christian and the church as a whole is not having the influence it's once had on the world, it's because we've been called unto holiness but refuse to answer the call to live a holy life. Despite God's chastening to get us to be partakers of his holiness, we continue to fight him tooth and nail. Just as Joshua told the children of Israel, they could not serve God because he is a holy God, the same is true today. Christian, you just cannot serve a holy God unless you yourself are holy. Amen. The Bible tells us the Lord God, could return at any time. And that fact alone should make you and I live a holy life for him. I want to close today with this passage. Amen. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse number 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that this is going to happen, Peter says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, amen, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The Lord's return, amen. We ought to be ready. He's going to come. He's going to burn up this old world, amen, as we know it. And as a result, we should live, amen, in all holiness and all holy conversation and godliness.